Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Let's Talk CFL Podcast. Roundtable discussion recorded live on Sunday and Wednesday nights. Visit Let's Talk CFL on Facebook for showtime. Brought to you by the Let's Talk Sports Groups on Facebook. Our partners, LostWorldOnSport.com. Stream live on BlogTalkRadio.com.
Hey, good evening, sports fans, and welcome to Let's Talk CFL Podcast, episode number 564. I'm your host, Christopher Jones, coming to you from Merritt, British Columbia. Yeah, we're going to talk some football tonight, CFL football, and that's kind of what we're doing. This free agency is over with. We got all the big signings are done there. Even Tim White just got signed. So, you know, there's a whole pile of things that are happening. So now we're going to go into the lull that's really nothing is going to happen until training camp starts because there's just nothing that happens. Yeah, there's some combines and then there's the draft and who really gives a shit? We don't. Or I don't anyhow, but most people don't. Because it doesn't matter. It really makes no difference onto what your team is going to do this year and or next year, so why worry about it? It's kind of all excited, but it's not. So I don't know. What else are we going to do? We're just going to talk about what Charles has got our agenda up there and we'll figure out what's happening and let's go around the panel and introduce everybody. Charles, welcome to the show, buddy. How are you doing?
Good evening. Thank you very much. I'm doing pretty well. Just out here in Abbotsford. Another day, another dollar, as they say.
Yeah, there you go. Actually, there's two of you in Abbotsford. Rick, you're in Abbotsford, aren't you?
That's right. We're
I am indeed. I am indeed. You betcha.
And up till 6 years ago, there would have been three of us, but I moved out of that town. Anyhow, that's what's going on. So, Rick, how are you doing?
I'm doing really good. No complaints.
So you're off the air here. You said you're going to go to BC Place Stadium this weekend, and you're photographing the Rugby 7. Is that correct?
Yeah, World Sevens are in town for, I don't know, the sixth year.
Yeah, is this a hobby or is this a job or what's the event? I understand Rugby 7 and what they're doing, but why you seem to be being a photographer. Is this a media thing or is this just personal or what's up?
Short answer, yes. It is a media thing. I'm fortunate enough to have done some work for BC Rugby and Rugby Canada, and they are kind enough to give me a media pass to the event, so I get access on the field and take pictures and peddle my wares to usually Team Canada families that want pictures of their players. So it's my full-time business nowadays is photography.
Oh, okay. Well, that's kind of cool. Maybe you'll get a CFL media pass and you can go to the Lions games. No? That doesn't interest you? It's just exciting. It's just kind of cool that we got a celebrity on the panel here with us.
I've contemplated asking them, but I hate driving into the city. I really hate driving
into the
city.
Yeah, I don't blame
you.
I do it all the time, but I can understand that.
It's a little harder to get access to when you're talking. I mean, World Rugby's not a. I mean, it's a pro league. Players are paid, but in Canada, it's not. You know, hounded on by all the media. So CFL's a little tougher to get access when you're not attached to an actual bona fide media source.
Well, you can tell that you're part of the Let's Talk CFL podcast, you know.
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
CJ. That's not a bad idea.
I'm not totally sure that's going to do you any help at all.
Please tell me your answer.
If you get there, they might beat you with rubber hoses. You never know.
Not sure how I show the pictures on the podcast, however, but.
Oh, you're one of them guys, I'll tell you. You're one of them. No, get away from us.
Them guys, yeah.
I'll just wear
we know all about you guys.
I'll just wear a big sign that says I'm not Will.
No, just say you're Christopher Jones. That'll get you lots of attention.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to help you much, honestly.
As they begin to pummel you.
Yeah.
Well, I know guys
that
have made up.
I never got
in trouble.
I'm kidding.
Yeah, no, I know guys that have made up false media outlets, you know, like vlogs and whatnot, and post them online, and they use that to try and, you know, garner credentials. But I'm too lazy to go to that extent. I get what I can and do what I can, and is happy. I've been fortunate the last number of years. There's always been a player on Team Canada who actually played football for me at one point when he was in high school that has played national rugby and international rugby after his high school career. So,
well, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's very cool. Cool to see
actually,
him go on with his sport.
Yeah, a long time ago when we first started all of this, we were sponsored, and we kind of we still have the intro up there for Last Word on Sports, which was a almost like kind of a, like a Three Down Nation thing, only much bigger than that. It was more what the Bleacher Report sort of thing, like Charles, isn't that kind of what they were? Because they crossed multiple sports. So there was a contingent in Canada that did CFL, and I actually got media credentials through them for the first year that we were doing this, but I never used them. It just didn't seem that there wasn't much of a point in it. I just went and watched the football games. I didn't really want to do anything about it. I write articles all the time on CFL. Nobody agrees with me, so I don't give a shit. that's not true. A lot of people agree with me. It's just that there's so many people that are, what did you say, vocal? Yeah, I think it's vocal in a counterproductive way. Mostly Bomber fans for some reason. I don't understand what's going on with them. Okay, so Willie's in the background here still. Sorry, I forgot all about you, buddy. How are you doing today,
that's
William?
Okay, I am fine.
How did that make you feel?
I well, you know what?
I forgot all about you.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I know Christopher Jones really loves me like a retarded half-brother. Mm. Oops, I said that word again. Sorry.
Buddy, you can't use those words here. We get in trouble.
I know. I know. Well, you get in trouble. I don't. You know.
Yeah, I don't understand that one either.
Well, so I got Monday. I had Monday off, which was awesome, and I get Friday off, which is awesome. So I only have a 3-day work week. And on
okay.
Friday, I'm going to get my eyes done so that I'm going to see like a real human being, apparently, for the first time in my life.
Well,
we shall see
how
that
yeah,
works.
That's kind of interesting. I wish you all the best on that, William.
Mm-hmm.
I did laser surgery for my wife back, oh, shit, must be 20, 25 years ago now, at least 25 years ago. And
yes.
It was probably the best present I ever bought for anybody. She was just so ecstatic. She said she was seeing colors that she never thought existed. And
wait a minute.
The
and she finally got to see
that?
You. She finally got to see you perfectly, and she didn't divorce you? Holy shit.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
see,
it wasn't,
the
wasn't
biggest,
a successful
the biggest problem
procedure.
With it was that she no longer needed her glasses at night so that she could see the clock when I came home.
Oh, okay.
Okay, now, I don't go out drinking and partying with the boys anymore, so I'm not coming home at 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning anymore. But before, she couldn't see the clock, so she didn't know what time I came home. But now then she, you know, I fixed her eyes, and then she looked at the clock, and then she gave me shit the next day because I came home so late.
Cool.
It was kind of a, you know, a good, bad scenario sort of thing, right?
Yep.
But,
so I
wish
you
all the best. Good luck, and hopefully it works out for you, and everything is good.
If not, you know, not next week, but the week after, I'll show you guys my white cane on the show. Oh, wait a minute. You can't see me anyway, so it doesn't matter. Anyway. What can I say?
No, we won't see the white cane.
Okay.
So that won't be a problem.
Okay.
Excuse me. Okay, So let's get in and talking some football right now. So we've got up on the agenda here with Charles. The big signing was the Hamilton Tiger Cat took the holdout. Two-time CFL All-Star receiver Tim White, who was looking for $300K for the season. And he ended up signing, I think it was around $265 on for a two-year deal. And it doesn't look as juicy and as wonderful as what it could have been. I think he was priced himself out of the ballpark, obviously. But, 35,000 shy of his goal is not really that bad, is it?
Huh.
Charles, what's your thoughts, Charles?
I mean, I was obviously he wasn't going to get the $300,000 he was looking for. That was pretty obvious. But to be honest, you get $265 at that point in free agency. I think he did pretty well, to be honest, because we know that if you don't sign until in the first 2 to 3 days of free agency, it's tough for you to get anything. And basically, he was able to get. Not quite what he asked for, but not far off. So you got to give him credit for that. He held out. He got what he wanted. I mean, I don't think anyone other than Hamilton would have given him that much. I think Hamilton probably values him more than other teams. Nobody else is going to give him that much money. So he did pretty well for himself. You got to be I'm a little bit impressed because, like you said, he had been not signed in the first few days of free agency. I thought he might end up having trouble because he didn't seem to want to come off what his asking price was. But he got what he wanted or close to what he wanted, so good for him.
Yeah,
and Hamilton was the only one that was going to give him that much.
It's kind of a rock and a hard place. You know, he held out. He got more than what I thought he would get. I thought he should have been in the 2.25 range, if that, and ended up with 265, which is great. You know, good for him.
Nice.
You're right. I don't think anybody else would have signed him for anywhere close to the 265. And Hamilton's happy. Tim White's happy. The Hamilton Tiger Cat fans are happy. It's a win-win-win. But it's still, we've gone over this. 265 is too much money to be paying a receiver. Just fact of the matter. I think receivers at the top end is 220 would be top. Is Geno Lewis still signed with Edmonton?
300.
Is he still making three hundred twenty or something this year?
Yep.
Well, he was making 320 last year. So.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he's going to earn it this year.
Well, but according to the article Charles put on the agenda, he's only making $220 this year and $235 next year. Okay. And as it is, he made $213 last year. So we're only talking, you do the math, a $7,000 increase.
Yeah, but he has some performance bonuses in here that could bring him up to $265.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay, so possible. Gotcha.
So, So it's possible he's going to earn $265. That's not probable. They don't really have a quarterback over there, so it's hard for a receiver to meet all the performance bonuses if you don't have somebody throwing you a ball.
Are you dissing Bo Levi again? Come on.
Well, I just beat you to it, so... Yeah. So, good on him for what he asked for. He got 220 plus some performance bonuses, which could be 265. Next year, he's got 235. He's up, like you said, only $7,000 over last year, and he held out for next. Who's phoning me? Hang on.
Not me. I'm already talking to you.
It looks like Rudy's phoning you.
No, it's somebody from Merritt, actually, and I can't take the call right now. I think I know who it is, but obviously I can't take the call. I'm in a podcast. Okay, so that's Tim White. Rick, what's your thoughts on this? you've been hanging around this league long enough to know what receivers are worth. And is this good, bad, or ugly?
$300 is stupid money. And the thing with free agency is, like, this guy wasn't in a very good spot after it passes. And obviously nobody else was offering him money to boost his worth with the Hamilton Tiger Cats, right? So it's kind of like, I'd say he had the one place to sign with, so good for him for signing. Hopefully he can get his performance bonuses.
Yeah, well, I don't think anybody, there's no other team in the league that's looking for a high-end receiver like that. It wasn't in the cards this year.
Yep.
I mean, there wasn't a lot of movement on the receivers around this league. But good on them, and you know, shit happens, and carry on. And like I said, that the Tiger Cat fans are ecstatic that Tim's back in there, and good for them. And you know, we need to start the season. Is it June yet? Can we say that yet? Are we allowed to? Is it June?
Yeah,
yet?
You can say that. You can say that.
Well, actually, I think it actually starts in May now, doesn't it?
Training camp, like second week in May.
Yeah, no, I think there's exhibition games in May.
Yeah, late May. Yes, there is. I believe the first exhibition game is something like May 29th.
Yeah, so that would be a good thing. I mean, I'd be happy with that. I mean, where are we? We're right at the end of February. This is a leap year, by the way, guys. I don't know if you knew that. There's 29 days in February this month. We make up that extra quarter of a day every 4 years. So, yeah, so what do we got? We're March, April, like 90 days. 90 days until we're in football. That's not bad, 3 months. We are going to have to entertain ourselves during that time because this is literally the worst time of the year for football news.
Right after free agency. Between free agency and the start of the season, people say, oh, you got the combine, you got the draft. Does anyone really care about these things? They're so dull. I know Will has said that he's watched the combine before. I've tried to watch it, and after about two guys, it's all the same.
100%.
And the draft
is
dull, whether it's present day or 14 years old.
FYI, guys, the first preseason game is May 20th. So it's
that cold. Early, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Indeedy.
I didn't think it was that early. Jeez, that is early.
Yeah, it is.
That might be the earliest I've ever seen it.
Yeah.
And I can recall anyways.
Really? May 20th?
May
20th,
Week one this year, regular season, is June 5th, so.
Yep.
Yes.
So.
May 20th, that's Victoria Day.
Yep.
Yes. Our great monarch's birthday. Okay. So we're done on Tim White. I'm done with him. There's no point in talking about him anymore. He's signed. He's done. It's old news. Move on. Rudy keeps sending me things here. He's trying to tell me that the actual money that Tim White is getting is under $200K, which is highly possible, but, you know, his total's up there, so we'll see what happens.
Can I ask a question? If he's, like, sending you stuff, why is he not on?
This is Rudy, old Rudy. This isn't 2.0. This is
old
Rudy.
Not okay.
Yeah.
My mistake.
This is Rudy 1.0.
Okay. I did not realize that.
Right. Yeah, I honestly,
whatever happened
I haven't
to
2.0? Heard from Rudy 2.0 in since before Christmas. As
he's
said,
curling.
Hi, bye, kiss my
he's
ass
curling.
Or anything. So.
It's the height of curling.
He's curling.
Christopher. Stop it. Okay, there's nothing else to do
in Winnipeg.
Yes, I would live in Winnipeg.
Yeah, not going to happen. Okay, next up on the agenda here, we've got the BC Lions have signed quarterback Vernon Adams Jr. to a contract extension through 2026. So they extended them through this year, 25 and 26. So it's a three-year deal that's come up right now. And it's a decent money. He gets a $200,000 signing bonus plus $395,000 in hard money in 2024, half a million in hard money in 2025, and again, half a million in 2026, which half of that salary now is guaranteed in for his third and final year, right? So no matter what happens right now, he gets $250,000 in 2026, even if he's not playing football. Good, bad, and ugly. I'm just not sure about that CBA. Why would we pay him if he's not playing for us? I've always had a problem with that. I don't have an issue with these non-guaranteed contracts. If you're not capable of playing football, you shouldn't be getting paid. So I don't know. We'll see what happens.
There you are with your player-hating stuff.
No, I'm being facetious.
So, that's what some people online would say.
But the fact of the matter is that if you're going to cut the guy, you cut the guy. You're not going to play. I don't want him on my team anymore. He's not capable of playing football at the highest level that we want him to be. So why do I pay him?
Now you're giving Hamilton an inferiority complex because they're doing exactly that thing as we speak.
Yeah, of course they are.
They're paying Bo Levi and he can't play. Anyways.
Well, this is his second year, right? Not his third. His third year is even scarier.
Yeah, right. This is the second year coming up.
They just extended his contract, and it was just like, seriously, he played, what, three games last year, was injured?
Did they extend it for one and a half games? Did they extend it, or did they just re-messed with it?
Well, they renegotiated it, obviously, for less money.
I don't think they extended it. Trust me. I don't think they extended it.
No.
I don't think he did. I think it was a renegotiation.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a 2-year deal, not a 3-year deal, if I'm correct.
That's right.
I don't. Right?
Yep.
So he wouldn't be getting any hard money in his third year. And this is his second year with them.
Yes, and it probably came down to, Bo, do you want to play football? If you do, then you got to take less money, period. Okay?
If not, you were cutting.
Because you suck.
100%.
So.
Well, yeah. I understand the fact that he got hurt playing football for them. But what idiot didn't think he was going to get hurt?
Well, he hadn't been healthy in a few years. He hadn't had a whole healthy season.
Yeah,
exactly.
What made them think he was going to get any better?
In one of the earlier games, he got hurt in. Wasn't that the game where he threw three picks in the end zone that game or something like that?
Yes, it was.
Because he was throwing flutter balls to D-backs. Okay,
yep.
So
100%.
Yeah. Okay. What can I say?
Well, there's not much to say about it. I mean, like. Seriously, you got a guy like Trevor Harris over in Saskatchewan right now. And, you know, Rider fans are, like, jumping up and down. They're ecstatic. They think this is it. Oh, my God. They're at the top of the power rankings. They won free agency. You might as well play on the fucking parade the way that these guys are talking in Regina. And they still don't have a quarterback.
Yeah, but
how do you get excited about that?
Like I've mentioned before, they have a better quarterback than they've had in a number of years. Sorry, they do. Okay, Trevor Harris is an upgrade.
Well, of course he is.
Trevor Harris,
I have no doubt in my mind.
I do.
Okay? Go look at his stats over the 11 years he has been in the CFL and tell me what year
yes.
he completed.
He has never
one.
Completed a season.
No, he completed one season.
One season. Okay.
One season he dressed for 18 games.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He didn't start 18 games, but he dressed for 18 games.
Right.
So, and that was with Montreal. So, like, seriously, how can you bet the farm, literally, because that's where they are, on somebody who can't play football? And, yes,
he is
a talented football player. We've always said that. But then you don't know whether good Trevor Harris is going to show up or bad Trevor Harris is going to show up.
Yeah, but
and whether or not he even gets hurt.
What else was out there this year? Really, what else
Nobody.
Was out there? Okay.
Nobody.
So, and I thought we were talking about Vernon Adams here anyways.
Yeah, it's a good
Vernon
point.
Adams.
We trailed off on Trevor Harris, yeah.
Yeah,
I
thought
we
were talking about
Vernon
Adams. We went off
on a tangent. We actually went over to
right.
Paul Levi Mitchell for a bit, too.
Yeah,
but,
I know.
You know,
I think BC signing him to a couple-year extension is a good thing. I think he's arguably the second or third best quarterback in the CFL. Okay, but
yeah, and that's a debate.
Yeah, but he still hasn't brought them to the promised land. So let's see how he does.
Well, I agree.
Okay.
But, I mean, I did put up some stats from last season. He was first in the CFL with just under 5,000 passing yards. He was first in the CFL with total yards. He had 10-plus 300-yard passing games. Okay.
Uh-huh.
He had the most passing yards in one game of 458, and he was second in total touchdowns.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, you know, when you're looking at kind of stats like that, it's hard not to argue with them. And, you know, and I'm talking to Ralph Hertzberg online here, and this is Bomber fan, right? And he goes, and all the clans don't give him any credibility. And I said, you know, it's funny as hell. But, you know, in reality is that he really hasn't done anything. He hasn't grown. He's not matured enough to be that elite quarterback because he's never been on a consistently good team. Last
Correct.
Year he was on a good football team,
and
you could see him progressing through the season as he got better and better and better and more comfortable in the pocket and everything else. But he still had brain farts like that Toronto game. Right, where shit happened, and he, you know, and once you get into the quicksand, you can't get out of it. And so,
yeah,
you know, he's going to grow through that, hopefully, and now he comes into his, I don't want to say the elite status and stuff, but it's a good possibility that that's what we can say about him next year.
Maybe if they turn around and don't put it all on his shoulders. I.e., they need 100%. A fucking running game. They need a running game.
And
He will get better if they have a consistent running game, for sure.
Yeah.
100%.
And they brought in William Stanback, but that's not
him.
The – yeah, but that – and William Stanback's not the only thing because that also has to do with how their offensive line plays because you can have the greatest running back in the world. If the offensive line doesn't give you any holes it's not going to matter.
Right. But they tried to rely on the
no.
pass. They tried to rely on the pass last year, and it didn't work. Okay? They had a great receiving core, but it didn't work. It's that simple. It did work.
Well, no,
it didn't.
It just wasn't enough.
Yeah,
what
I mean, they got them second place, but it didn't
the,
get them to the Grey Cup.
I mean, you can talk stats all you want, but what's the only stat that I care about?
The scoreboard.
Winning the Grey Cup.
There you go. That's the only stat that matters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Look at this.
And the only one that did that was Cody Fajardo.
Who was the quarterback who won the Grey Cup last year?
Cody Fajardo.
Cody Fajardo.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. That's scary.
Yeah. And the thing is, you have to have the running back. You have to have the receiving. Now, he's going to have a few less receivers this year. Dominic Rhymes is gone. Does not look like Lucky Whitehead is coming back. So he's going to have to make sure, not that we still don't have talented receivers. We do. But, you're going to have a few less weapons, but they're going to have to make more of the running game, like we're saying. Because without a running game, and it showed in the Western Final, the difference, because Winnipeg had a running game and BC didn't, and you could tell the difference. And so they got to get that running game going. That's the biggest concern, I think, this season for the Lions, to get that running game going.
Charles, if the Western Final had been in BC instead of in Winnipeg, if BC hadn't fucked the dog on that last game, it would have been a different result. I honestly believe
it very well may have.
When you go play cold weather games in Winnipeg in November, you need a running game.
Yeah, you
bottom
can't
line.
Rely
but
on the passing
when
alone.
When you're
playing
you're cold
just not
weather games
work.
In BC, you can go up there and act like it's May.
Right.
Okay.
But in the cold weather, it's just not going to work.
Right. Right. So, 100% BC lost that game.
Yep.
Because of what they did earlier in one game or prior to that, right?
Right.
The point spread on Winnipeg. And I don't really remember the ins and outs of it right now, but I if I looked at it, I would come back. And BC failed it. What was it? It was on the last play of the game or something like that where they did something stupid.
Well, that was the one where Dominic Rhymes caught the ball.
That's
and
right.
Decided to go for a touchdown. Yeah. If he had just gone down, they would have been in field goal range, and they could have kicked the field goal and won the game. That was exactly what that was.
And then the Western Final would have been in BC place. BC would have beat Winnipeg. BC would have gone over to Hamilton and beat Montreal, and we would have been Grey Cup champions. Just like that.
Well,
yeah. Okay.
That's a little bit of revisionist history, but...
I could turn that around and I could turn around and say, what are you guys talking about? After all, BC didn't lose to the Grey Cup champion. They lost to the loser of the Grey Cup champion, right? So, the fan.
Yeah, but we also, I know. And who did Toronto lose to? Oh, my God. Never mind. Everybody's losers.
Yeah.
You don't win the Grey Cup, you don't win anything. Doesn't matter.
They always say second place is the first loser.
That's right.
Yep.
Yeah. It's fact of the matter. It's a true story.
Yep.
We can't argue with that one. So we'll see what happens. And you just have. And I still don't understand how the people out there are. Again, this is like 3 years in a row, and not that they've proved them wrong. But everybody seems to be disrespecting the BC Lions. I saw somebody had a sixth place in the power rankings. Not that I really give a shit about the power rankings at this point in time in the season. But how do you put the Lions in sixth? I don't understand. I couldn't even put Montreal in second.
Yeah, but I don't think that's a dislike for the BC Lions. I think that's a dislike for Christopher Jones. To be honest with you, I really do.
I'm gonna put you on mute.
Sorry, just saying, man.
Yeah, I didn't make a comment on it, so they didn't round me up on it. I just don't understand how people can actually think that. Well, people have got the Saskatchewan Roughriders in first place in the power rankings. I'm like, seriously, there's not a fucking hope in hell. They're lucky if they're going to be fourth in the West.
Aren't they a dynasty already?
No, that's Winnipeg's the dynasty. What the hell's the matter with you, Will?
Come on.
Wasn't it Todd Mogi the other day that said that it's a decade-long dynasty for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers already?
Yeah, it's a decade or something like that. It was some bunch of crap.
Decade-long dynasty.
And they were comparing Strebler and Kolaris to Wilkinson and Moon. It's like, oh, my God.
No, Wilkinson and Moon could both pass the ball.
Zach Kolaris control the ball.
Yes.
In fact, I think Zach Kolaris is a far better quarterback than Tom Wilkinson ever was.
He wasn't the one I was talking about. I was talking
about Strebler. I know what you were talking about. I think they're comparable, but nobody can touch Warren Moon. Sorry. Just my opinion.
Well, Doug Flutie could, in my opinion.
No, we're not talking. Doug Flutie's not in the conversation right now. So
he's talking about Winnipeg.
No, but you just said, I don't think anybody can touch Warren Moon. And I said, well, I think Doug Flutie did. But
no.
I think he was referring to Winnipeg in the comparison of the four.
I know.
Okay, we'll stop.
I know.
It.
So one of the stats on Vernon Adams, since we're still talking about him, did you know that he is going to pass Doug Flutie this year in all-time passing yards for the BC Lions?
Yeah, but didn't Doug Flutie play for the BC Lions for 10 minutes or something like that?
For 2 years?
A season and a half?
It was only one season, wasn't it, Charles? Was it two?
No, with two seasons, 90 and 91.
But he wasn't the starter in one of them.
He was the part-time starter. His first year, Doug Flutie's first year in BC, he was meant to start, but he actually ended up sharing the starting job most of the year with Joe Pow because he was still kind of learning the ropes in BC. So he wasn't, of course, he wasn't the Doug Flutie we were used to, not in his first season. Once we got to the second season, mind you, that's where things started to change in a real hurry. But his first season was kind of a feeling out season, so he was in and out of the starter's job.
Yeah.
And I saw an interview with him the other day, and I was quite surprised by it.
His Doug Flutie's biggest CFL regret was not staying with the BC Lions. He said he should never have left for Calgary. And I thought, wow, really? Why would you say that? You went off and had great success in Calgary and went off and had great success in Toronto. You didn't have success in Vancouver. And he said his biggest regret was not staying in Vancouver. Interesting. So, okay, so Vernon Adams signed up for 3 years, extended through there. Hopefully he stays healthy. And he continues to improve, and we could be looking at a good quality BC Lions team for the first time in a decade or so.
Well, no, they've been good quality for the last 2 years.
Yeah,
they've been good quality, but if you're not winning the Grey Cup, you're a loser.
Right. And they've been a loser for how many years now have they been a loser? 12? 13,
too many.
14?
No, it's been more than that.
2011.
So, yeah, 13.
Yeah.
They have the second longest Grey Cup drought other than Hamilton.
They're coming up to Winnipeg folklore.
No, they're not. Not even close. But it is 13 years. It is time for them to win a Grey Cup.
Only 15 years away from Winnipeg's record. Come on. 15 years can go by like nothing.
I don't know. Hamilton might catch that.
I'm sorry, guys, but Vernon Adams is not the guy that's going to take them to a Grey Cup.
Why not?
He's just not that guy.
Why not?
I disagree.
Well, we will see in the end who's right.
Well, of course we will, yeah.
He is not going to lead him to the promised land. He's got great stats. He's got great stats, but he hasn't won any of the games that really count. So there you go.
He's played 1 year with BC. It's the first time he's played in his entire career.
One full year.
Yep.
One full year. it's the first time that he played with a consistently good team.
Yep.
So you cannot look at what he's done in the past with all the other teams and say, oh, this is going to follow him around like a boat anchor around his neck, because it's not.
Sure I can.
You say the same thing about Zach Collaros. Now, I think Zach Collaros is one of the best quarterbacks that the CFL's ever seen. But in reality, he really didn't do anything in Toronto, Hamilton, Toronto, Saskatchewan, until he got to Winnipeg and got into a consistently good team.
Yeah.
And yes, I'm going to compare Vernon Adams right now to Zach Collaros in the ability, in the fact that this is the first time that he had a team around him. And God knows what will happen. We don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Williams Standback might actually do something.
Yeah, no, we don't know what will happen. My opinion is he's not the guy.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, you definitely have a right to your opinion.
The best option in the CFL right now.
Yeah.
If Cody Fajardo was the right guy for Montreal, Vernon Adams is the right guy for BC.
Good point.
Okay.
Once again,
anything can happen.
Once again,
of course.
All I have to say is Marcus Crandall. Okay.
Crandall. Exactly.
Marcus Crandall. Okay. But Cody Fajardo is another good example. Okay. Darian Durant. There's another good example. Okay.
Oh God, yes.
I mean, I hate to admit when Christopher Jones is right about something, but winning the Grey Cup is not a quarterback thing. It's a team thing.
Then you're not going to do it without a good quarterback.
No.
Well, no, you don't have to have a good quarterback.
Well,
you have to have a
Montreal
middle-of-the-road quarterback. Middle-of-the-road quarterback.
You have to have a competent quarterback.
Yes, you do. I hate that word game manager, but you have to have one of those.
Yeah, I agree.
So.
But, you know, there's always the blind mouse that does find the cheese eventually. And like you said, like Darian Durant, Cody Fajardo, Marcus Crandall. And there's a plethora of other guys that have won the Grey Cup that
I
probably shouldn't have.
Once again, I wonder.
But
in 2019,
Damon Allen, I don't know how many times did Damon Allen win it and he never should have.
I wonder in 2019 if Winnipeg would have won the Grey Cup with what's his face? God, I can't remember his name. Help
which
me
one?
Is,
what year?
The guy who got hurt in 2019 before
Winnipeg?
Zach Collaros.
Oh,
yes,
Nichols.
Yeah, him. Yes, Matt
Nichols.
Yes,
Matt Nichols.
Would they have won the Grey Cup with Matt Nichols?
I don't think they would have.
Well, but you don't know for sure. You don't know for sure.
No, you're right.
So, I mean, everything lined up, and they ended up playing Hamilton in the Grey Cup, and they looked pretty unbeatable. So
they did.
You never know.
Hell, in 2019, Saskatchewan looked really good.
Yeah,
yes,
they
did.
First place. They were in first place.
Hamilton was in first place. They were first in the West.
No, I think that's what you meant. Yeah, first in the West.
That's
but
I mean.
They were
I
also
don't...
only a—they were only a crossbar away from going to the Grey Cup because remember Cody Fajardo was the quarterback
Shut
of
up,
Saskatchewan.
Charles.
In the, what? It's true. He was the quarterback for Saskatchewan, and he hit the crossbar, and that was the end.
Yeah.
Hey, here's
twice,
here,
wasn't
here's
it?
Hey guys, here's the thing to consider: winning the Grey Cup isn't as hard as getting to that game. Once you're there, you've got a 50-50 chance of winning.
I agree. Yeah, I agree.
To get there, to get through the season and win the East or West final to get there, that's the important part. you can't put that together. And that's one of the things I don't think Vernon will be able to do, but that's just me. He has this long history of having cold games when it's not a good time to have a cold game.
Well,
I've been wrong before.
On him.
No, I can't blame anything on anybody. But it's just a lot of things got to go right to get there. And I just don't think he's the guy.
Well.
And on that Dominic Rhymes thing, well, now if he does go down and you get to kick the field goal, who says you make the field goal for the win?
But I was going to say, you're not the guy until you become the guy. Okay? It's pretty
Fair
simple.
Point.
Okay, because would any of us on this panel pick Cody Fajardo to be the guy? Not fucking me.
Never.
That's for sure.
Not a chance.
Right. So,
well,
I still can't believe it.
I gave him a 50-50 chance of being the guy once he got to the game.
Yeah.
Well, that's true of any quarterback because there's only two quarterbacks starting.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's also the Eastern Division, right? The fact that getting to the Grey Cup is a hell of a lot easier in the Eastern Division than it is getting into the Grey Cup in the Western Division.
This
is a moot conversation anyways, because Jake Mary is going to throw for 7,000 yards this year. So
nobody's
going to come close.
I am happy that Vernon is making some real money finally.
And you know what? He probably is, too.
Yes. Well, he should be. I'm sure there was a time when he doubted it would happen.
Well, he thought he should have made that money when he first came to BC. Remember?
Well, no.
He thought he should have been the anointed starter, too.
Yeah.
Who's that?
Over Travis Lulé. Vernon Adams. When he first came to BC, he was on the negotiations list, and he found out about it, and he forced the activation of it with Wally Buono and said that I'm coming to BC, and I expect to be the starter. And Wally said, fuck you, and traded
no,
him
you're
right
not.
To Montreal.
Yep. Do you remember, what did they trade his rights for? Was that for the first-round pick? I think it was, wasn't it?
I don't know. I think it was a
set of socks and a roll of duct tape.
So it was more valuable than a first round pick.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, it was May of 2016, and BC got a first round selection in the 2017 draft, which was Danny Vanderbilt. Third overall.
Okay, which shows you the value of a first round pick.
He was a household name, for sure.
Danny was a bad receiver.
Wasn't, but he wasn't a great receiver either. He never really was a starter. I played here, and then I think he went to Edmonton after. Am I right or about that? I thought he went to Edmonton.
He did, yeah.
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 But he was never a starter anywhere, really.
Let's jump over to this. Longtime Tiny Cat, Simone Lawrence announces his retirement. You know, I don't think he really wanted to retire. I think he wanted to play another year or two, and he just kind of was hanging around, and they were talking back and forth, and nobody seemed to – I mean, the only team that was going to take him was the Ticats, and I think the Ticats were done with him. So I think
they gave him a
pretty
job.
Cool what they've done. They gave him a job. They gave him a good job. They're giving him this huge retirement party. They're probably going to retire his number. Nobody seems like Simone Lawrence, and I cannot help but defend the guy. He played on the edge. He played with great passion. And sometimes it kind of went over the edge a little bit, but I don't think he was ever maliciously a dirty player. Not like Angelo Mosca was. Where he went out of his way to hurt people. I don't think Simone Lawrence actually went out of his way to hurt anybody. And same with, if I remember correctly, Tyrese Bear, right?
Yeah, he was one that got quite, yeah.
They were both considered dirty players, but I think they just played with that little bit extra passion that they needed to be. And they were aggressive, and they were mm-hmm. successful at it. I mean, Simone Lawrence, if you look at his career, which is what, 11 years, 12 years, he was only suspended twice. Not that some players out there never get suspended, but you know, if you're going to call the guy a dirty player, he's got to have a worse track record than that. In my opinion, I don't mind the guy. I don't have a problem with what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And good for Hamilton to take care of him the way that they do, because he's a fan favorite and he's part of the team. He's part of the town.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going anywhere. Rick, what are your sentiments on Simone here?
I've got no problems with him at all. He's a good player. Nice to see the team treating his way, you know, treating him well. And, you know, this is, as a football coach friend of mine always says, this is football after all. It's not tennis. It gets rough out there.
Yeah.
It's like a street fight
yeah.
with some rules. You know, so I've no problem with him at all. I thought he was a stellar player.
Yep. That's why girls don't play.
But at 35, he's getting a little long in the tooth anyway to be playing like that. So maybe a good idea to move to an off the field job.
But there's no way in hell he can't say that he's not hurting every morning when he gets up.
Oh, of course he is.
Of course not. You can't play in the game. It doesn't matter what age you are. It hurts the whole season.
Rough
way to earn a living. Hats off to them all.
100%. And I was talking to somebody
mm-hmm.
the other day, and it was just like, and he goes, how can you watch the CFL? And I says, because I make more money than most of those guys, and I can respect somebody who's willing to go out there and put their body on the line for my entertainment. I don't have if you're making $24 million a year, I'm not respecting you. You know, you should get beat up. But anyhow, it's kind of my own philosophy. So we just carry on and move on with that one.
Yeah.
Simone Lawrence is done.
Yeah.
William, what's your thoughts on the man?
I never had a problem with him whatsoever. He's a guy. I like the guys who have big mouths as long as they back their big mouths up with good play, and he was a good player, if not a great player. So,
yeah, no, I think he was a great player. I mean,
nothing whatsoever. So,
yeah. Okay. Okay, where are we going to go here with next? We've got a team-by-team look at CFL free agency on CFL.ca. This is actually got to have something good on it here. It's the additions and signings and departures of
yeah.
the different teams. And I think we've gone over most of this already once already. And
there we know.
I'm sorry, Will, what was that?
Yeah, we have last week.
I was trying to find it. Yeah.
Nothing really changed this week.
Not a whole lot. There were a few signings, but like we've said before, after the first two or three days, the signings really kind of drop off almost completely. just because, you know, the teams have spent their money.
Right. Okay, so you've all heard that the Saskatchewan Rough Riders won free agency for 2024,
yep.
Correct?
They did.
Yeah, that's what I heard, yeah.
Hands
that's
down.
The rumor.
Hands down.
So,
hands down.
So they signed 8 players. Toronto signed 8 players. Hamilton signed 9 players. Now, is it the caliber of player or is it the quantity? Is it quantity versus quality? Is it what? I mean, Saskatchewan got some good players, but they still don't have a quarterback.
Yeah, well, what really counts is who signs the good quality Canadian players.
I disagree with you. I really think it's who signs the kicker. Okay?
Okay, my mistake.
Not just
right?
The kicker, but the guy
Edmonton
that does the kick-off.
Edmonton signed Forrest Beattie, okay? So that
yeah.
made them
so they won,
an exception.
They won free agency. They won free agency for sure.
Right?
So,
well,
yeah.
If you look at it, Toronto signed Liam Hirilahu.
That's true.
That's a good signing.
I've always liked Hula Hoop. He's a good player. So.
Yeah, that is a good signing.
I think Boris going to Edmonton was a good signing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
right? Go ahead, Will.
Thank God today on TSN, or yesterday on TSN, the headline wasn't BC Lions extend the Vadge's contract.
Honestly, I'd have loved that. I would have thought that was funny.
Yeah.
Milt Stegall. He's never going to live that one
Stegall.
Down.
No, he's not.
You know, if you
never.
Look at the teams, team by team, on what they signed for free agency, I really think Edmonton is one of the most improved teams.
Edmonton,
they actually got a quarterback.
I can see that.
Well, who did they sign? Let's look at
McLeod Boswell Thompson.
Yeah, but you never liked him as a quarterback.
I like him a lot better than anything else they had.
Yeah, but they still have Trey Ford.
I don't think Trey Ford is a good quarterback.
Did I again?
I think
and
he's
they
still.
They also got Javon Leak, which is that running back kick returner, the number one special teams player in the CFL last year.
Mm-hmm.
Hard to argue with that one. That was a good move.
I guess we won't really see who's won until they put the product on the field and see how all the new pieces work together.
Well, exactly. And, I mean, you're looking at Saskatchewan. You've got a rookie head coach. You've got a rookie coaching staff.
You know
and
what?
And you've got a whole pile of mercenaries.
According to this article about – who did well. Okay, Edmonton
mm-hmm.
only signed one player.
One player. And that's not
and
true.
They didn't lose anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It's absolutely, mm-hmm. absolutely wrong.
Yeah, I think so. But the one player they do have there, Javon Leak, he's a good addition for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. So.
Okay. So who are the 9, according to Marshall Ferguson, the 9 sneaky good free agent signings, 1 per team? Okay. So these are the sneaky good signings. Pete Robertson, BC Lions. I never heard
mm-hmm.
of this guy before. Did I miss something here?
Pete Robertson is actually a very good defensive lineman. He was the he was a leading he led the Saskatchewan Rough Riders in sacks last year.
Okay.
The last 2 years, he's got like I think he had 13 and he had 11. He's not obviously he's not what's his name
Matthew Betts.
But he's not a bad guy to bring in if you're losing those sacks. He's a guy that can get you sacks.
Right. And, I mean, if you look at who's your defensive line coach, it's John Bowman.
John Bowman,
okay?
Yep.
Yeah.
Amazing. He did an amazing job with the defensive line last year. One of the best D linemen ever in the league coming over from Montreal. And then BC picked up Siaki Evans as well. So I think your backfield or the defensive backfield is going to be very well balanced. Number two, Edmonton Elks picked up Boris Beattie, kicker, punter.
No, they didn't.
I'm sorry?
No, they didn't.
Edmonton Elks?
I thought they did.
Not according to the last article, they didn't. Not according to the last article.
I know.
Yeah, that article
wrong.
They didn't write.
Anyways, okay.
It's not right, Will. It's not
okay.
Right.
Okay.
So they picked up Boris Beattie, kicker, punter. Calgary picked up Trayvon Tate, an O lineman. This might go a long ways to helping out little Jake Mayer.
He needs it.
See what happens there. Saskatchewan's big signing was a guy named Adam Auclair.
Him I'm not familiar with.
He came out of the Red Blacks. He was a big part of the Rouge d'Or. But, you know, to me, again, a linebacker, Canadian linebacker. Winnipeg's big signing. Who was Winnipeg's big signing this year? What are you laughing at, Rick?
Who writes this shit?
Chris Drebler. Oh my God!
Mm-hmm.
This was a big thing for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers.
According to some people, yes.
You know what,
Bomber
if
fans.
If he wins another 4 Grey Cups, he'll be right up there with Warren Moon. Oh, wait, he's got to start 5 Grey Cups. Okay, sorry. Or 4.5.
Rick, you're a Winnipeg Blue Bomber
yeah.
fan. This is indisputable.
Like I said last week, I still don't know why we want him. I haven't figured it out.
I agree with you. We're not going to talk about Chris Trevler here, but I want to ask you an honest question. How long do you think Zach Collaros is going to continue to play?
A couple years.
I was a betting man. I say one more season.
This season and then another one? Or is this his last?
No, I think this is his last season he's going to play.
Okay. I'm not disputing that. I agree with you. I honestly didn't think that he would play this year coming up.
Just my thought. I wasn't 100% sure partway through last year either.
No. You could see him slowing down.
Yep.
And everybody thinks that I was like, oh, yeah, you're just a hater. And I said, I don't hate Zach Collaros. He's one of my favorite players all time. But I guess
he's just moving
quite the way that they needed to be for him.
And he's only one concussion away from being done anyway. So.
Well,
yeah, but we've been saying that. We've been saying
so
that for 4 years. We've been saying
true.
That for 4 years. So,
yeah, law of averages. Time starts running out on a man. More times he goes to the well.
True.
Yes, but his O line is not as strong as what it once was.
Yeah, but have you?
That's
seen
a
that
good point.
Have you seen that?
We don't know this yet.
He wears?
Was that Fred Flintstone's a friend, the great Kazoo?
Yeah.
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 We don't actually know. his old line might be better this year.
Stanley Bryant is older. Hardrick is gone.
Yep.
And that other guy is gone. Somebody went down to the States, right?
No, hey, somebody retired. No. Somebody retired.
Yeah. Somebody retired. That's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
The two replacements might be better.
Yeah, never do.
Might be. But it's going to take them a while to gel and play football together. In the meantime, you're putting your quarterback out on the edge.
We shall see.
And don't forget
the professionals after all, right?
They could also put Chris Trevor in the backfield to block for him too. So,
well, the smart thing to do would have Chris Trevor be your starter for the first four or five games.
And
everybody
says those games
are meaningless anyhow. So why put Zach Caleros at risk?
I should don't forget they've spent some money on a running back, so they're going to run the ball for sure. So,
well, of course they are. Okay, so Chris Strebler is the number one signing for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. I mean, that was the end-all, be-all. I mean, you might as well just stop talking about the rest of the league, right? Because he's just amazing.
Yeah, what a score.
So
How do we ever get him back from the NFL?
So the best signing in Winnipeg wasn't the number one running back in the CFL, and it wasn't the number one receiver in the CFL. It was a fucking guy who hasn't been in the CFL for 4 years. Really?
I think these were guys that weren't previously there. I think they were signing from other teams.
Yes, it's the top nine sneaky good free agent signings, not the top nine best signings.
Right. Fuck.
Wow. Sneaky good.
Sneaky good.
Sneaky good.
Like nobody else in the league knew about Chris Trevler, so that was sneaky.
Nobody in the league was keeping
it
up.
Nobody
Chris
wanted
Trevler.
Him. Anyway,
like
move
six
on.
Six other quarterbacks out there that were better, so just saying.
Okay. So Hamilton Tiger Cats scooped up a guy named Jamal Peters. Defensive back.
Yeah.
I think the sneaky free agent signing in Hamilton was Scott Milanovich as head coach, but that's beside the point.
Yeah, no kidding.
Okay, Toronto Argonauts picked up a defensive back, Tunde Adeleke. I did pretty good with that.
Tunde Adeleke. Sunday
Adeleke.
Yeah.
Pretty close.
Fuck off, Will.
Okay.
It was close enough.
And
you
know
at least knew what I was talking about.
That's a good signing, but he's hurt a lot, so he was a Stampeder number one draft pick about 4 or 5 years ago, so but he gets hurt a lot. So but it is
But we already established the fact that a draft pick is irrelevant for the first 4 or 5 years.
No,
so
he's been quite good.
He's actually only becoming relevant.
No, but he's a whore. Oh. He goes anywhere for an extra $5,000.
So be it. The big sneaky signing for the Ottawa Redblacks was Dominic Rimes. Well,
sure.
If Dominic Rimes stays healthy and Drew Brown actually gets to throw the ball, this might be a good thing for Ottawa Redblacks. We all want them to do better than they have been because they've been pretty much terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Because you certainly cannot continue to bank on Jeremiah Mazzoli.
I'll still be shocked if we see him back in the CFL. I think he's done.
Yeah.
He should have been
done
2 years
ago.
Yep.
Okay, he should have been done. I mean, he missed the beginning of last season and the season before. He's going to miss the beginning of this season. How do you take a quarterback into training camp that is not scheduled to play football until week 5 or 6 of the league of the year?
Yeah.
How do you do that?
Yeah. Okay.
And you guys,
I don't know. I don't get
you
it.
You guys know my opinion on Jeremiah Mazzoli. He was a never was been. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but then that's the same thing with Trevor Harris. They both were competent quarterbacks. They just never did anything. Okay. So the last sneaky signing goes to the Montreal Alouettes. Sean Thomas Erlington, running back.
Yeah.
No, they extended him. They actually gave him an extension. And made him one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the CFL. That's funny. So they gave up William Stanback, and they got this Sean Thomas Erlington.
He was a Canadian running back who's never done anything, and he gets hurt quite often.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. But then Stanback hasn't been healthy in, 3 or 4 years either.
Yeah, well.
I don't know. Okay, who is the West's biggest off-season stories? Well, this is, what just happened to me?
What just happened to you?
I don't know why.
Okay, Pat Stein, the thing just took off on me. That's okay. Winnipeg Blue Bombers double trouble with Brady Oliveira and Dalton Schoen. The best impactful signings of the free agency, without question. Those were the two best signings. I'll take Dalton Schoen over Tim White.
I think most people would.
So, I think Winnipeg did an amazing job signing these two guys up. Everybody was betting money. Bomber fans were crying in their milk. There's no way that they thought that they could sign both of these guys, and they did. So good for them that they lost a couple of guys in the meantime. But, who was it? Adam Big Hill, I think, was ecstatic about the signings that Winnipeg made, but sad that he lost some good, you lost some good pieces. And without question, you did. Okay? Edmonton Elks, the return of McLeod Bethel Thompson. Big signing in Edmonton. Big signing. I mean, think about this. Chris Jones has been in the league for how long? Forever and ever and ever as a head coach. This is the first time that he's actually had a real quarterback. Think about it. Go back. Well, he had Mike Riley. He did have Mike Riley. Won a Grey Cup with Mike Riley, so hard to say that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? He never put a lot of credence into his offense. And here he is. He still has Trey Ford under contract. I would really like to see Trey Ford and come over to BC and back up Vernon Adams. It's just on Christopher's wish list.
Don't hold your breath on that.
I think that Trey Smith is an amazing quarterback. Trey Ford is an amazing quarterback. Because I don't think he is. I really don't think he is. I think it's more hype because he's a Canadian than anything else. But his playing style is very similar to Vernon Adams. So, the few times that he would have to go in and play for him, the offense would be seamless. That's the only thing that I hope on that one. But we'll see what happens. Chris Jones did not have a lot of confidence in him last year, even when he was winning. But seriously, what did he win, 3 games last year? 2 against Ottawa and 1 against Hamilton? mean, come on.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like he was a rock star or anything. Okay. Saskatchewan made all those splashes. Yeah, it's okay. Jeremy O'Day, without question, the number one GM in the CFL. He just absolutely built the Saskatchewan Roughriders to win the Grey Cup. I mean, without question, he just went out and he just built himself a football team. Oh, no, sorry. He bought himself a football team. Huge difference. So we'll see what happens with Saskatchewan. I still think it's going to take them a while before they get all the pieces come together.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, you got a rookie head coach. You got a bunch of rookie coaches in there. And then you've got a whole pile of misfit players. I call mercenaries who just went to the highest bidder. And That's tough to bring together. Rick, you're a football coach. What do you agree with that, or what's your take on
the
Saskatchewan Roughriders this year?
Very much. Once again, they picked up a lot of pretty new toys, but I don't know how they will all mesh together in the new. And who knows what the new head coach, mind you, rookie head coaches sometimes do things differently that are very effective. Because they don't know any better. But
yeah,
I'm still putting them.
I just went through Devon Claybrook years, you know.
Yeah, middle of the pack to bottom this year. They're not gonna click right away, even if they do.
No, I think Edmonton's gonna jump over them this year. But then I said that last year, and the year before.
Well, you see, that's what you said last year, and it didn't turn out so well.
No,
but again,
because they never
did
get a quarterback.
To be honest.
Right. So, we'll see what happens. I mean, their big signing of A.J. Ouellette, fabulous signing out of Toronto, the running back. He's a good kid. He's a pounder up the middle. Needs a haircut really bad. And
no.
You know, what's that, Will? You like his mullet?
No, he'll fit into Saskatchewan like a glove. Okay.
Oh, I know. He already has. He's never played a down football for them, and he's a god.
Yeah, and there's somebody in town right now that is imitating his hairdo, and they'll be selling wigs like that first game of the year, for sure.
Oh, 100%. So,
well, and I'm sure he'll be able to find some cousins he can date.
Yeah. Now, don't get racist or whatever.
Anyway, why not?
I don't know. I just picture the first guy comes out with the watermelon helmet with that hair hanging out of the back of it, okay? It'll be special.
You want one, admit it.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not partial to green.
Here's where, earlier on in the show, I said that the BC Lions get no respect, none, zero, right? And just nobody does that. And here we've got this article by Pat Steinberg, and he's going off and he's talking about all the wonderful things that every team has done. Winnipeg's got their double trouble. McLeod Bethel Thompson showing up, all the toys in Saskatchewan, gets down to BC. The only thing that he's got to say about BC is Matthew Betts is gone.
Yeah. Nothing about bringing in William Stanback or nothing, just Matthew Betts is gone.
No. And I don't really think Matthew Betts is a big loss. You know, and I don't mean that.
He was a good defensive player.
He was a great defensive player But it was because the entire defense was good. If you don't have the defensive backs covering the receivers downfield, you can't be rushing the quarterback because he's just going to walk, you know, throw the ball and it's touchdown. So football's a team sport. There's no one player that is going to be missed in this aspect of things. And I think the couple of other signings that they had with after Betts is gone is going to really make a difference. It just pisses me off that they can't find something good to say about the Lions. It's all they've lost something.
So what was bigger? What was bigger, losing Matthew Betts or losing Cameron Wake?
Losing who?
Matthew Betts or Cameron
Wake?
Yeah,
I heard that. Cameron Wake? Cameron Wake.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Cameron Wake.
Yeah, Cameron Wake by a long shot. Cameron Wake by a long shot.
Okay. Where did CJ go, or is he still trying to figure out who Cameron Wake was?
No, I'm sure he knows who Cameron Wake is. We might have lost him.
He's not hearing. He's not here anymore.
No.
Are you still here, Rick?
Rick, are you still here? Okay,
yes,
so we lost CJ. I just dropped off the face of the earth here.
Huh.
Well, that ain't good. Well, we'll just keep going. I'm sure he'll maybe along shortly.
Okay.
He's gone. Where is he?
Oh, I thought
he can't hear you.
Is this working?
Now
we can hear you.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I had to turn off my headset. No, I very much know who Cameron Wake is. I mean, you're comparing Cameron Wake to Matthew Betts. That's like comparing Flutie to Cody Fajardo.
Well, I'm asking. That's what I'm asking. So you've lost a bigger defensive player before. So Matthew Betts is not that big.
Mm-hmm.
No.
That's all
absolutely
I'm saying.
Not.
No.
And once again, we've all lost players. And as you say, Christopher, we replaced them with other players. And it's the truth,
mm-hmm.
right? So,
100%,
I mean, look,
you know?
Look, we had Bo Levi Mitchell, and now we have Jake Mayer. There's just no, it was seamless. It was seamless,
mm-hmm.
okay?
I actually think that's a bit of an upgrade, but.
Yeah, okay.
Well, from the old Bo that you had, yeah, I think Jake Mayer is a better quarterback than what Bo was the last year or the year before. 100%.
No, Jake Mayer is not better than Matthew Schlitz, for fuck's sake. Okay?
He might be the starter by the middle of the year.
Matthew Schlitz. Who does BC have for a backup quarterback right now?
Middle
Charles?
Of the year, Charles, game five.
Yeah. Right now, the Lions' backup, I guess, would be Jake Dogala.
We don't have
either Jake DeGallo or
Prokop.
Jake DeGallo or the other guy, Dakota Prokop. That's right.
Oh, right. We did pick up Prokop. Okay, so that's our short yardage guy, and DeGallo's our number two.
Right.
Okay. So, anyhow. Yeah, I don't know what happened to my phone. It just stopped working, I guess. I looked at it. I'm still online. Everything's going. I'm listening to you guys, so everything was fine. But I guess you weren't.
Mm-hmm.
The mic just stopped working. Maybe it's muted. I don't know. I'll just keep going. We don't have that much, half an hour left of the show, so we'll just I'll just kind of do it with the phone here. That's the West's biggest off-season stories. We've done the 9 sneaky good free agent signings. Longtime Simone Lawrence. Team by team, look at free agency. We got all of that. Look at that. How about, let's do this. The way too early power rankings.
Did we do this last week?
So, William.
No.
What's that?
Yeah, I thought we did. Nothing. Go ahead.
Nope. Nope.
So, William, I want you to give me the William power rankings right now. Can you do that?
Yeah.
Who's number one?
Like, are we talking 1 to 9?
We're talking 1 to 9, the entire CFL, everything together. We're finished free agency. We know who signed who. We know what's going on. The only thing that's a question right now is the draft, which isn't going to make a difference. I want your power rankings. Who's the number one team in the league right now?
Winnipeg.
Charles.
Winnipeg.
Rick.
Winnipeg.
And CJ comes out with the Bombers. Okay? Absolutely impossible to move them out of first place at this point in time with Zach Collaros as the quarterback. It's just not possible. There's no way that you can do that. Except for CFL staff has the Montreal Alouettes in first place.
So stupid. That's solely because they won the Grey Cup. Had they not won the Grey Cup, they'd be nowhere near first place if they hadn't won the Grey Cup.
Nope.
Lightning in a bottle. Nope,
not at all. Okay. So, William.
Bingo.
Second place. Number two in your power rankings right now. Who is it?
BC.
And, Rick, what do you say?
Agreed, BC.
Charles?
BC.
Okay, so we're unanimous on the first two picks here. No doubt about it. Okay, I have BC as number two. And only because I can't take Winnipeg out of first place. So here's the big one kicker now. Charles, who are you putting in third?
This is where I'll put Montreal.
Okay. And I can't argue with you on this one. William?
Are you ready? Are you sitting down?
Yep.
I know what you're going to say.
Yes.
Edmonton.
Oh, maybe not.
Putting Edmonton in third place.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Awesome. And your reasoning for that is why?
McLeod Bethel Thomas.
Okay.
Because of the quality of quarterbacks in the CFL, they've got to have the number three quarterback. They have to have the number three quarterback in the CFL.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Charles, you were expecting him to say Saskatchewan.
Yes, I was. That was exactly who I expected him to say.
Rick, who do you have in third place?
That's a tough one. That's a tough one. I'm going to go with Toronto.
Good. Interesting.
Mostly based on the performance overall last year. I mean, without that shit game in the Eastern Final, and that was a shit game. Totally out of character for them.
They played Ottawa four times, Hamilton five times.
Yeah.
It's not hard to break winning records when you're playing these orphans.
I know. I just thought they were a pretty solid team. So I was going back and forth between Toronto and Edmonton. So I'll go Toronto to be different.
Now, I'm going to take Montreal in this position, third position, only because they just seem to be building themselves a solid team in the fact that they had nothing at the beginning of last season, and they ended up being one of the better teams in the league and actually winning the Grey Cup. despite the fact that they have Cody Fajardo as their quarterback. So I'm going to take Montreal in third place, and I'm going to fill the back end of it with Edmonton in fourth. So who are you taking in fourth place now, Rick?
Edmonton.
Okay. So you're taking Montreal down to fourth, to fifth or sixth spot now? Is that what you're going to tell me?
Yep.
Okay. Charles, fourth position for you.
I'll put Toronto in fourth.
You're going to put Toronto in fourth. Well, we really
yes.
have a mixed opinion of the middle section of this league right now. Usually we're a little bit more consistent than this. Okay, Toronto in at fourth. You got Montreal at third and Toronto in fourth. William, you have Edmonton in third. Who are you taking for fourth?
I don't know.
You have Montreal, Toronto?
Nope, neither are.
Saskatchewan?
Nope, can't pick them. Can't pick Calgary.
Can't pick Hamilton.
Oof. You pretty much got Ottawa by default there, if that's the case.
No,
there's no other team left.
I'm gonna pick Hamilton.
Ooh.
And
you're
the
not
reason,
gonna pick Toronto?
My reasoning behind that is this, and I'll tell you what it is. Is I know what Cody Fajardo could do. I know what Trevor Harris can do. I know what fucking Jim Kelly wannabe can do. I think they have a pretty good quarterback in Hamilton, and I'm not talking about Bo. Okay. I'm talking about Taylor Powell and Scott Milinovich will be there to help him figure it out. And so I'm going to go with Hamilton.
Okay, so this was number five, is that correct?
No, that was number four.
That was number four, so you got Hamilton at four.
Yep.
So let's recap this for a second. You have Winnipeg, BC, Edmonton, Hamilton.
Yep.
Okay. And Charles, you have Winnipeg, BC, Montreal. Who's your number four pick?
I said Toronto.
You said Toronto, okay.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. And Rick, you have Winnipeg, BC. Where did you go from there? You went to Toronto. Who's your number four?
Edmonton.
Edmonton. Okay.
Okay.
And who's your number five now, Rick?
Montreal.
Montreal, number five. Charles?
Edmonton.
Edmonton. And William?
Montreal.
Montreal. Okay. So we got three teams left. Calgary, Ottawa, and Hamilton for all of us, except for Will. Oh, we got Saskatchewan in there somewhere, don't we? Yeah.
We got four teams left.
Four teams left. Okay, so your number six pick? Yes. Six pick. Rick is going to be... It's got to be Saskatchewan.
No, I'm going to go Hamilton.
You're going to go Hamilton. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. And Charles, you're number six?
That's where I'm going to put Hamilton.
Okay. William? You had Hamilton at four.
Yeah,
they're putting him in at six.
Fuck. I have Calgary, Toronto,
Ottawa,
and
Saskatchewan
left.
Yeah. Toronto, right?
Yeah, I'm starting to drink the Kool-Aid. I'm gonna put my money on Matthew Schlitz, Calgary.
Really? Wow. And you're picking Calgary above Toronto, is that what you just told me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Toronto.
I personally can't do that. Yeah. Charles?
This is where I'll put Saskatchewan.
Yeah. Okay. And Rick?
Saskatchewan.
Okay. And I'm putting Saskatchewan in there as well. So three teams left. We got Hamilton to Ottawa and Calgary. So name your bottom three, Charles.
Ottawa. I got Ottawa. Calgary's last. Who am I missing?
Hamilton.
Ottawa, Hamilton, Calgary.
Okay. Rick? Your bottom
Hamilton,
three?
Ottawa, Hamilton, Ottawa, Calgary.
Okay. That's where I am. I got Hamilton, Ottawa, and Calgary. And, William, your last three are Ottawa, Toronto,
and Saskatchewan.
Saskatchewan.
Toronto, Saskatchewan, Ottawa. Toronto, Saskatchewan, Ottawa. And they could all interchange. They could all interchange. And the reason I'm so down on Toronto is because they got decimated in free agency.
They did.
They got decimated with coaching staff in free agency. They got decimated.
Yeah.
And we'll get to see how good Ryan Dinwiddie really is as a head coach.
Well, I don't
think
he is.
Got
I think
lots
Corey
of
Mason
he desired.
Together.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you guys all have your computers up in front of you?
Yep.
I did not.
Type in your list and send it to me.
Okay.
Type in your list of what it is, and we'll go from there.
So our power ranking, you mean?
What's that?
You mean our power ranking list?
Your power ranking list.
No, we just
list,
did.
Put it into
yeah.
our group chat and send it over, and we'll go from there. We'll see what happens.
Great.
Okay. What else do we have here? That was the way too early power rankings. Richie Leone, Jake Thomas, among seven players selected for the CFL Player Mentorship Program. Wow. Slow news week.
Yes, it was.
So next week's going to be hard. Or actually, we might have Dax and Jeff Coates on the panel next week, so maybe we'll be able to have some fun with that. But what is a membership program?
Mentorship.
I know what mentorship is, but who are they mentoring? Football players, young
players,
kids,
yes.
grannies?
Players.
Yep.
Players.
Other players?
Yes.
Wow. I thought that was something that you normally do. Isn't that the job of all veterans?
But this is official.
Because Randy Ambrosi said so?
Apparently. It's all in his new 3.0 plan.
He's concerning me again.
When did he stop?
When did he not stop concerning you?
Yeah. It's always concerning me. I'd love to know what some people, other people's opinions of him is. I mean, like, seriously, it can't be that good. But, oh well. See what happens.
Hey, Rick. Hey, Rick, when we see Glenn Kudar, we'll have to ask him what his opinion of Randy Ambrosi is.
Yeah. Where do
Tony
you see Glenn
him?
Kudar?
Say what?
Glenn Kudar.
That's what I said.
Yeah, somebody heard Glenn Suter.
Oh, no, Glenn Kudar, because they played on U of M's O-line together. Let's see what kind of a smart
guy.
Yeah,
well, I thought you said Glenn
Randy
Suter.
Ambrosi
did you talk
is.
To Glenn Suter?
No, I didn't. I said Glenn Kudar.
Oh, Glenn Kudar. Okay. And who's he?
He played O-line with Randy Ambrosi in university, and he's a friend of ours, so.
Oh, okay. And do you see him often?
No, he lives in Winnipeg.
I actually haven't seen him since my wedding. So 38 years. Going to see him
was
in May in Winnipeg.
Was he at your wedding?
He was, yeah, only guy from high school I invited.
I must have been drunk. Fuck. Anyway.
Were you old enough to drink?
Yeah, I was 23.
So did you notice anything about the years? Our birthday is coming up, right, William?
Yes.
We were born in 1962, and we're going to be 62 years old.
Yes, we are.
Interesting. I thought that was kind of cool. Anyway.
Too.
So, Jermarcus Hardrick, O-lineman, was with the BC Lions, went to Winnipeg, hung out there for a while, won a couple of Grey Cups. He's feeling guilty about leaving the Bombers and going to Saskatchewan. Now, is he feeling guilty that he's left the Bombers for more money? Or is he feeling guilty that he left the Bombers to go to the Riders? Or, I mean, there's a whole pile of different levels of guilt involved in this. Is it now that he thinks that he can go over there and date his cousins? I don't know.
I don't understand.
I mean,
that. What do you feel? What are you feeling guilty about?
Saskatchewan, isn't there?
You can't blame a guy for making $5,000 more a year by going to Saskatchewan, because the cost of living is probably cheaper in Saskatchewan than it is in Winnipeg.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Really?
Yeah, for sure.
It's got to be pretty close.
No. Christopher, Regina is only 250,000 people. Winnipeg's 780.
Yeah.
Winnipeg's 780, man. Three times the size.
Okay, Abbotsford's over 130,000 people now, and that's Abbotsford.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Something's beeping at me over here. What is this? I don't know. Okay, so what do you think about Yoshi here? Should he be feeling guilty that he went over to Saskatchewan for this extra little bit of money? Or
he's
is this because Winnipeg didn't want to sign him?
He's not feeling guilty. He's a whore. He'll go anywhere for more money, and who cares? You know what? You better pay me more money living in Saskatchewan than in Winnipeg, because I'm not living in Regina for nothing. Come on. I don't know. Do you still have to boil the water? You still have to boil the water there to drink it?
That's what the 120K signing bonus was for.
Yeah.
Yeah, he shouldn't feel guilty. And he should. I mean, he's getting a little long in the tooth, too. Get the money while you can, because you have to get a real job soon.
Well, I mean, that's the whole thing is that, you know, these guys are getting older and older and older. And yes, they were good O-linemen. Like, look at Stanley Bryant. What is he, 38 now?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a lot of years to be moving that amount of weight around.
Yeah, well.
In a competitive manner. I don't know.
Yeah, there was a couple of times last year that Stanley Bryant looked like a pylon, but he also played some pretty good games. So, you know, it just depends, I guess.
I think this article. Yeah, no, this article is just about nothing else to write about right now. So we found something to write about.
I think a lot of it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's about the last 13 minutes of our show right now, is because we really don't have anything to talk about.
Pretty much.
No.
Pretty much.
This is a part of the year where it gets really tough to do the agenda. There's not a whole lot going
on.
But
I appreciate it, Charles.
Yep. I do it. Some days take longer than all others.
Maybe at this time of the year we should get Stephen Sparksman to do a rugby segment.
Oh, boy.
What do you think?
No.
No? Okay.
I think I'll pass on the rugby segment here. But what I will suggest is I'm just going to go look at the Let's Talk CFL Facebook group and see what's there. Is there anything interesting? Oh, look, Vernon Adams. Oh, look. Oh, did you see this today? This was big news. Charles, you missed this one completely. From Farhan Lousy, the BC Lions and the Winnipeg Blue Bombers finished first and second, respectively, for the number of offensive and defensive snaps played by Canadians. As a result, they'll receive bonus picks in this year's CFL draft. BC will pick 19th, and Winnipeg will pick 20th, giving each of these two additional draft picks. You missed this completely. This is huge news.
Charles, how could you?
I feel shame.
Hey, has they almost make it sound like it's a prize.
As punishment, I'm going to go back and watch the 2010 draft or whatever it is.
Has anybody looked lately? Is the staff up this year or not?
They are not.
They are not.
I went looking.
Well, there haven't been any stats. The season hasn't started.
Oh, my God.
They have the stats. They have some of the stats for last year. They don't have all of the stats, and they have no stats anywhere for the year before.
How does this guy keep his fucking job? Holy crap.
Boggles the mind. It truly does.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's huge news that there's exited. BC and Winnipeg both get additional draft picks.
Yeah.
Sure.
Two-time All-Star defensive back Carly Brooks retires from the CFL.
Who?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
The Canadian.
He was an All-Star?
It says two-time All-Star.
Huh.
Two-time All-Star defensive back Carly Brooks. He looks like he's wearing a Hamilton Tiger Cats uniform.
Uh-huh.
So preseason game has changed its date. That's huge news, too.
Uh-huh.
If I was
is that sarcasm?
You what the greatest Grey Cup game of all times was, what would you say? Rick?
Pardon me?
The Sorry, greatest Grey Cup game of all times.
God.
I don't think I can pick one. I could pick my favorite.
Well, I think that's what you need to do.
Okay, pick well, my favorite, I don't remember the year. It was the first time the Bombers broke a big drought, the year that we traded Dieter Brock for
Tom Clements.
For Tom Clements,
mm-hmm.
played in Edmonton in the cold.
Mm-hmm.
Russell Austin's rookie year. That was my favorite.
Okay. Charles, what was the best breakup?
My favorite and the best are probably two different ones. My favorite was 1994 when nobody gave the Lions a chance to go through Baltimore, and they said that they were going to be swallowed up and eaten, and they went out and beat Baltimore at BC Place in the first Grey Cup game I ever attended live. So that was my favorite.
There.
And the best, I think, might have been another Grey Cup that I was at, which would have been the 2005 Grey Cup between Edmonton and Montreal, when Edmonton beat Montreal in overtime, 38-35, in a crazy game.
Okay. William, what are your thoughts on the greatest Grey Cup game ever?
My favorite Grey Cup? No, my favorite Grey Cup of all time. No, I was a Bomber fan back then, Christopher. My favorite Grey Cup was, I do believe it was, correct me if I'm wrong, I do believe it was the Winnipeg Blue Bombers playing the BC Lions. And all I remember is BC's quarterback throwing an interception the last play of the game or something. Matt Dunnigan. And you guys actually got beat by fucking Sean Salisbury. For fuck's sake, you guys are losers.
God, embarrassing.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
I think I watched that Grey Cup with you, Rick, and I think we watched it at the Mustangs Clubhouse, their bar. I'm pretty sure we did. Yeah, I'm pretty sure we did.
So, okay.
Yeah, I remember that one.
So my favorite Grey Cup of all times has to be the 2009 game between the Montreal Alouettes and the Saskatchewan Roughriders. Without question, that had to be the most spectacular ending of any football game ever. But that being said, the 1994 game, which was absolutely spectacular, and winning on a last-minute field goal to beat those Americans was number one. The worst Grey Cup of my entire life was the 1995 game where those putzes from Calgary let an American team win the Grey Cup. That's the most embarrassing and disgusting Grey Cup game ever. Personal opinion.
And my favorite CFL game of all time, okay, and it wasn't for the game, but it was for what happened after the game, and I've brought this up a couple of times when this particular human being was on our podcast, Western Final between BC and Calgary, and the Grey Cup was in Calgary that year, and BC won, and David Benefield ran down the field telling the Stampeders to get the fuck out of his dressing room. I thought that was classic. Okay. I cried. I was laughing so hard. And he remembered that when he was on the show.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We all remember that.
Yeah.
It was a priceless.
That was great.
It was absolutely priceless. Yeah.
And then
I was at the Western semifinal.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Will.
My second favorite is, it was a game in Calgary. Winnipeg was playing in Calgary. Winnipeg hadn't won in Calgary in years upon years. And they just destroyed the Stampeders, and Milt Stegall did his best impersonation of the Stampeder horse running down the sidelines when they scored a touchdown. Once again, it was another, I cried when he did that. It was funny.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I remember a semifinal game not that long ago, 10 years ago, less than, between the BC Lions and the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. And I was at BC Place Stadium, and we won it on the last play of the game. Again, I think it was a field goal. And I jumped up. I was in Club Orange. And I jumped up. I was so excited. And my hands went straight up in the air. And right above me was a 150-ton concrete beam. And I broke my hand punching this beam as I jumped up in the air. And I was talking to Jared Zanowicz at the same time. And because he had bet me his house that Winnipeg was going to beat BC. And I'm still waiting for a house in Winnipeg.
That must have been back when Jared, drank, right?
I was going to say, is that really a prize? A house in Winnipeg?
No. It could be, just depending, I guess, on what district you're in, but I don't know.
Yeah, but the Zanowicz boys are North End boys, so their house is probably worth $20,000. So,
yeah. Well, $20,000's $20,000, okay? I mean, that's not bad.
I guess, yeah. And you never collected, eh?
No, you would never pay up. I bug them about it every once in a while. I think it's kind of funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, he made a bet. He said, "I'll bet my house."
Apparently, they tried.
Winnipeg is going to beat the Lions. There's not a hope in hell.
Apparently, they tried to find me at the 2019 Grey Cup, but they were too drunk to walk or something. So,
yeah,
I'm just saying.
See, you can't even go to CFL.ca right now and go back in the schedules for the years, because I think it was 2016, and find out what game that was that I'm talking about. But
right.
Because the only schedule that's there is 2024. You can't go back and look at what the scores were for last year, because our stats suck because our commissioner is a fucking idiot. Okay.
Yes.
I have to do this now, guys. This has been Let's Talk CFL Podcast, episode 564. I've been your host, Chris Jones. We got to talk football. We dragged it a little bit, but hey, what the hell? We're under a minute left. Say goodnight, Charles.
Good night, folks. Thanks for listening, and we will talk to you next week.
And Rick.
Or something.
Good night, all.
That's it? That's all you got to say?
That's all he's got
to say.
See, I have to put Will last, because as soon as he finishes talking, he just hangs up. He doesn't continue the conversation. But we've got 25 seconds left. William, say good night.
Good night, everybody. Have a great weekend. And I'll probably see you better next week.
Ooh, so I'm excited.
He can't see us. This is a video podcast.
It doesn't matter. He hung up already.
Okay, yeah, he's not listening.
No, he's not. He's gone. Goodbye. Talk to you guys later.
Bye. Cheers.